You know, I was listening to a comedian one time several years ago, and it was talking about Christmas time, and it was talking about people getting offended because you wish them a Merry Christmas. And so he was just making this point. He said, you know, what's more offensive, the peace on earth or the goodwill to all men rhetoric? You know, I don't understand. But that peace on earth thing, that's what I want to talk to you about today a little bit. Finding peace in the midst of all the crazy today. Peace in the midst of the doctor's visits that don't go according to plan. Peace in the midst of raising kids or dealing with marriage struggles. Peace in the midst of an election that didn't go your way, and that depends on where you are in the last few elections, right? Peace in the midst of the storms of life. I think it's easy to have those good seasons, and in those good seasons, we're feeling good about life, and we love what God is doing, but in those hard seasons, at least culturally, we're struggling. We're struggling to maintain hope. We're struggling to maintain, being clear-headed. We're struggling with dealing life as it comes, and you see the suicide rates going off the charts in this lack of peace or this hopelessness that our culture struggles with, and you see it in the church, too. Life gets hard, and we immediately just deal with the temporal, and we forget that God is there. We forget that he's in control. And I say all that because as you go through Scripture, you see that God talks about different kinds of storms in life in Scripture. It's actually three different ones. There's the ones that we bring on ourselves, and we are amazing at bringing those on ourselves. We have this amazing ability of complicating our life, of making dumb decisions, of making things harder than they need to be. We talked a few weeks ago about a second kind of storm that life brings, and that's the ones that God brings into it. Remember, the disciples were on that boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and it started getting rough. And even though Jesus was sleeping in the front of the boat, they started freaking out. At one point, even screaming out to Jesus, "Don't you care if we die?" He was in the boat, Savior of the world, in the boat. And the test that God was using that struggle with, or that storm was, do you trust me? Do you trust me? In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the craziness and the chaos and not having all the answers, do you trust me? I mean, I'm in the boat. Clearly they didn't. But he used that experience to build their faith as he spoke to the wind and the waves, and all of a sudden that raging storm just went poof, and it was peace. There's a last one that I think we struggle with maybe even more than these, and that's the storms that other people bring into our lives. I think without a doubt, those are the hardest storms to deal with. When we're kind of the innocent party, when life just turned against us through no fault of our own. And though I don't ever like playing the victim, there are times where life just gets hard. It wasn't our fault, but it's just hard. And so it's this last one, or really all of them, that I want to talk to you about today. As you go with this, what do you do when the storms of life start blowing? So you go to the text, you see that we discover that Paul is on board this ship headed for Rome. And even though he's going as a prisoner, one of his heart's desire has always been to preach at Rome, to preach to the people in Rome, to preach before Caesar if that were possible. It was a lifelong dream. But just about the time they were about to leave, God comes to Paul and he shares a vision. He says, you know, tell the people on the ship, the captain and the crew, tell them not to go, because if they go, they're going to head right into this huge storm that's going to be in the Mediterranean, and there's going to be a lot of loss to cargo, to ship, and even to your own lives. Go tell the crew not to go. This is a warning. So Paul, being faithful to the Lord, he goes to the secular crew, and he says, hey, my God told me we shouldn't leave. Now imagine that, a prisoner saying to the captain, the guy, we shouldn't leave. We shouldn't go to Rome yet. We should stay another season and not go in so I can face my accusers in Rome. For whatever reason, though, even though they listened to him, I'm sure very carefully, they totally ignored what he wanted to do or what God said to do. And so in verse 27, verse 9, Paul warns them, man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. It will bring great loss to the ship and to the cargo and to our own lives also. But sadly, they still didn't listen. I think a lot about culture sometimes. God has shared this over his word over and over and over throughout the last couple of centuries, especially in America. He shared with us his truth, his word, what's right, what's wrong. And as a culture, we fail to listen, and so much so that we've gone the other way. Somebody just gave me an article earlier this morning, said for the first time in England's history, I guess, it's less than 50% Christian. And 33 or 37% of those that said they weren't Christian were nuns, those that don't believe in anything. In other words, a secularism. Anyway, the why they said no is probably an answer that all of us could give. We could all fill in the answer. They listened to the wrong experts. They took a vote. They relied on their feelings. They rolled the dice. They asked their friends. And ultimately, just did what they wanted to do anyway. They did what they felt was right, and they set off. As you follow along the story, you can see within hours they were in the middle of this huge storm, which I kind of love, or as I read through it, I'm a little bit bemused by. God warned them, don't do this. And in a couple hours, they're in the middle of this storm. It wasn't a couple days where they could forget about what God said. It was a couple hours, so as they didn't miss the point. And I started reading through that the other day as I was preparing for the message, and I thought, you know, I think this probably sounds a little too familiar to a lot of people today. Because for some of us, it's a pretty apt description of where our life is right now. Things have not gone according to plan. We made some unwise decisions. We said some unwise things. We did some things that we probably knew weren't quite right. Maybe more than anything, we've just been surprised. We've been surprised by how other people have complicated where it is that we wanted to go. And surprised, or maybe to nobody's surprise, we find ourselves in the middle of this storm, of this difficulty. And some of you I know feel like that right now. You've been going through a problem this past week or month or year. You feel like you've been battered back and forth by life. You've been throwing up things, getting one thing out of your life after another thing in your life, all that are important to you, but you're just trying to find solid ground. I was talking to a lady after church and this the last service, and you know, she had lost her husband this year, and she's trying to find her purpose in life, and she's struggling through it. She's struggling with the grief. She's struggling with why she's been the one that's been left and her husband was taken. She's struggling knowing what God wants her to do. She's stressed out by the economy. She's stressed out by just life in general. She's being battered one way and another way. She's kind of resisting throwing out things that are important to her, but it's been hard. Finally, you come to a point sometimes of just flat-out despair, even though you're a Christian. You want to say, what's the use of all this? There's no hope in any of this. It's an impossible situation to figure out or take the other side of. You look back to the story and you see these guys. They gave up everything else. They kept throwing things off the ship one by one, trying to lighten their load. And then finally, the scripture says they gave up hope. There's nothing more to throw out except for them. But you start asking, how did they get to this point? I think the answer is the same way that we do in our lives. They had forgotten that God's still in control. I can't tell you, and it doesn't even matter the election, Democrat or Republican winning. There's people in our congregation that are dismayed, and they almost lose hope about the future of the country because the other side wins. They're looking so much at the temporal that they forget the eternal, and they forget that God's still in it. They forget that God's still in control. People come back from the doctor and they get a diagnosis they don't like. And even before they hear the treatment or go through the treatment, they're giving up hope even before they even get there. Giving up on life becomes super easy, it seems like, for so many in our country. But it's because we forget God. We forget his role. We forget his part. We forget that he's ultimately in control. And that's what happened here. They forgot his plan. They forgot the fact that he can inject hope into even the most hopeless of situations. And I think that's the test, isn't it? It's the same one as the other ones. Will you trust me in the middle of the difficulty? Will you remember the promises I've made? Will you trust what it is that I've said? Because the test of your faith is, how do you handle it when the problems come and you're tempted to despair and to give up hope, to drift and to throw things that are important in your life out of it? See, character is revealed in the crisis. It's not made in the crisis. Character is made in the day-to-day little mundane things of life. The routine, that's where character is made. But it's absolutely revealed when you get into the shipwrecks, when you get into the crisis, when you get into those situations that you can't control, when you feel like life is going to swallow you up whole. And so what do you do when you feel like life is falling apart? What do you do when you don't have the answers for the stuff that you're struggling with? When you feel like the ship's going down for the last time. In verse 29, Paul begins to share the answer to this. And he just says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, and they prayed for daylight. He's just saying that the safest thing to do in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the storm, is to drop anchor. In other words, just to stand still, to put your roots down, to get back to what's truly important. Because situations change, and the sands of time, they absolutely shift. But the Bible says in Psalm 127 that the one who puts his trust in the Lord is like Mount Zion. He is immovable. Now compare that to the typical reaction I see so often with people that come in for counseling. Their life's falling apart for this reason or this reason. They're in a storm. They're going battered back and forth by life. They're freaking out. They want to give up hope. And at the same time, they think, let's change everything else at the same time. That's sort of the last thing in the world that they should do. But I'll give you an example of that. Person loses their spouse, either by divorce or by death. Typical reaction is, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to sell everything I have, and I'm going to move someplace else and just start over. But that's the last thing they need to do. They don't need more change in their life. They need less change. They need to put down some anchors. They need to get some stability back into their life. And again, that's exactly what Paul did in this story. They dropped anchor. And so what are anchors? I don't mean literal anchors, obviously. I'm talking about those foundational beliefs of the Christian life. The anchors of the soul. They are the truths that will anchor you into the rock of stability so that when the winds come and you're blown back and forth by life, you will have confidence. See, these are the truths that you build your life on. And so when life doesn't go your way, whether it be a doctor's visit or an election or struggles with your kids or struggles in your marriage, and you feel like giving up, there are things that you can hold on to that give you a stability to move forward. So what's one of the first ones that Paul talks about? The first anchor is found in verse 22, and he says this, "But I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed." To be honest, that's a statement of a confident person. He's saying, do not worry. None of you are going to die. All of you are going to make it. This too shall pass. Now, I got to be fair with you. The ship's going to get just decimated. But the reality is all of you guys are going to make it. But the question is, what gave him that kind of confidence? It's on day 14 of this journey. It's gone from bad to worse with the storm. They've gotten rid of everything. They even don't have any food left. I mean, everything's going wrong. And he gets up and says, hey, don't worry. God's got it. None of us are going to die. In verse 23, he tells us the answer. He says, last night when an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. He said, God sent a representative, and he stood by me last night. In other words, one of the first anchors that God gives us in a crisis is the presence of God. The first truth that we learn about in this passage is that storms can never hide the face of God. You may not see him, but he sees you. You may think he's a million miles away, but he's right there by your side. See, God had given Paul a personal experience with this angel. He had given him a reminder, for he sent a representative and he said this, Paul, I am with you. And it just reminded Paul that in the middle of this storm, out in the middle of this Mediterranean, on this little tiny ship, God still sees me. I'm not lost from him. It's going to be okay. I don't have to worry about it because he sees me. Over and over again in the scriptures, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lord, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. I will send you a comforter. Over and over in the scriptures, he says, wherever God you are, God is. And that's a comfort that I never have to go through anything by myself. That he is with me, that he is an anchor. And no matter what I'm going through, he's always by my side. I was trying to think, you know, I talk about the presence of God a lot, and I was trying to think of an example that somehow made this hit home. I've been married since 2000, so 22 years, and to my wonderful wife, Beth. And, you know, one of the things that I've realized over that span is there's a gift that God gives me through her. And that's that as long as, you know, she's with me, she gives me a peace that I can handle anything out this way. Because she has my back. Does that make sense? She's my rear guard. There's a safety this way. And that gives me a strength and an ability to deal with whatever comes. And I realize it's because she's with me. She doesn't do anything extraordinary, but when I'm down, I can talk it through. When I'm scared, she can reassure. When, you know, all the way through my life, she's just one that's got this direction so that I can deal with this direction. And I started thinking about that, and it's kind of funny that I feel that way about something that can be taken away from me, right? She could pass at any moment. But I started thinking that's the presence of God, if we would. It's because of him, he's got our back. No matter what life throws at us. He's the one that strengthens us and renews his mercies every morning. He's the one that empowers us to keep going. He's the one that gives us hope. He's the one that reminds us that we're forgiven, that we can let go of the past. He's got everything so that we can deal this way and keep living life as we need to. And more than that, God actually fights the battles in front of us. And so even the battles that we face aren't as great because he's out in front of us. He's our rear guard and our foreguard. But the rallies, he's doing all of that. But if we would resonate with that example of my wife and the peace and the strength that she gives, I wish we could look at God more that way. That because of God, we can handle anything. That because of God, we can get through anything. That because of God, there is always hope. He goes on, he says, in verse 24, the angel stood by me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God graciously has given to you the lives of all who sail with you. So God came to Paul and he said, Paul, I have a plan for your life. And my plan is for you to go to Rome, and my plan is for you to stand before Caesar and share the gospel of Jesus Christ for all that are in attendance. And so that just means that no matter what's happening in the moment, I'm going to get you there. I have greater purpose for your life, a greater plan for your life than this temporary storm that you're in. And that's really an anchor too, the purpose of God. He says, Paul, don't be afraid. You're going to stand before Caesar. You're going to have some skirmishes. You're going to get wet probably, but the reality is you're going to stand before Caesar. It's inevitable. It cannot change because I have purposed it. I talk a lot, too, about the purpose that God has for us in this life. And it was a couple years ago, I was heading down to Tucson with my kids for another swim meet. Like Beth was at a funeral in back in the Midwest or something, so it was just me and the kids. And we were heading down to Tucson, and I just got out of the city when I realized, I don't have any gas. And it wasn't just like I had a quarter of a tank left. I had zero gas. I hadn't paid attention to that at all. And I realized there was nothing ahead of me. There was no gas stations in front of me. I was going to run out of gas. It was a very horrible feeling. Then I saw one of those turnabouts that they have on I-10 going to Tucson. And I know you're not supposed to get on those turnabouts. I think it's illegal. But the reality is I was going to run out of gas, so I viewed this as an emergency. So I slowed down and got on one of those turnabouts because I had seen a gas station, you know, going into the city a little bit back. And I was just waiting, and as I was waiting there, I realized how busy things were. I mean, there was a ton of cars coming into Phoenix at that point, and I was just waiting for my turn, and I knew when it came my turn, I had to slam on the gas to get out there so I could get fast enough so I wouldn't get run over by the cars that were coming. So I waited and I waited, and there was my chance. And so I slammed on the gas, and I heard this huge thud, and then everything stopped. So this is I-10. Everybody's going this way, right? I'm in my car perpendicular on I-10. Across two lanes of traffic, and my car isn't working. My daughter's looking out the window. Dad, the cars are getting closer. Dad, that guy in the semi, he looks pretty scared right now. You know, and your life sort of slows down in those moments, and I was trying to figure out why my car wasn't working. Why, when I stepped on the gas, nothing was happening. And I don't know what it was, but I looked down, and I saw that that thud actually had put my car into neutral, and so I put it into drive. I slammed on the gas, fishtailed off the road, right, just as the cars were passing by. My daughter still has some shakes in the middle of the night as a result of that. But so we went and got some gas, and we headed back down toward Tucson. And after I stopped shaking myself, I turned around to the girls, and I said, you know what's cool about today? And they said, what? And really, only my oldest daughter had been paying attention. The other two were playing in back, right? I said, God has purpose for at least one of us in this car. Otherwise, we would have died today. I mean, we would have blown up like a Roman candle. There was no gas in the tank. It would have been horrible. But God has purpose for somebody in this car, hopefully all of us, but we didn't die today because God has purpose. I share that because I think every Christian should live with a sense of destiny. I said this a lot of time, but nobody is born by accident. Regardless of the circumstances of your birth, you're not here just to take up air. You're not here just to take up space. But God has a purpose and a plan for every individual person. Storms are simply temporary setbacks to that purpose. But absolutely nothing can change his purpose. I guess you can. You can deny it. You can walk away from his purpose. God will let you do that. But there's no doubt that God has a plan for your life. Scripture teaches that no outside influence, no outside person can change God's purpose for your life. Only you can do it. So you can either accept it or reject it, but no matter what happens in your life, on the outside, on the external, nothing can alter your plan, God's plan for your life. If you decide to say, God, I want to do your will, I think the reality is that we all have this purpose that God has designed. And I don't know if that's for your spouse, so you can strengthen and be a strength for them so that they can be in heaven one day. I don't know if it's for your kids, so that by your witness and your example and your teachings that they can be in heaven with you one day. I don't know if it's for coworkers. I don't know if it's for friends that are in your neighborhood. I don't know who it's for, but I know that God has purpose. And God's going to take us home when he's done, amen? He'll take us home when he's done using us, but until then, he has purpose. And that's why so far, every sickness that you've had, you've gotten through because he still has purpose for your life. And every danger, and I think back toward my teenage years and in my early 20s, and God could have taken me like 100 times at that point, he's gotten through every one of those storms, every one of those skirmishes, every one of those difficulties, every one of those dumb things that we've done, because he still has purpose. And that's why that can be an anchor too. Not only does God have us, and I got you as we're going through life, he has purpose for our life. And no matter what the sickness, no matter what the difficulty, if he still has purpose, just like Paul, he's still going to give you that time to accomplish it. I think for Paul, as he's listening to all this, he's thinking, I'm going to preach before Caesar, which means I'm not going to die in this ship. I think that was great news. Somehow, some way, we're going to get through this so that God can accomplish his purpose. And that's true for your life as well. And he goes on to a third one. Finally, there's a third anchor, and the third anchor that gives us confidence in a crisis is found in verse 25, and it says this. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. And so the third anchor is just simply God's promise. He said, God told me that we're going to make it. Is he honor his promises? Is he true to his promises? Absolutely he is. So when the storms of life start crashing in around you, God calls us to put down our anchors, to remember that where there is the presence of God and where there is the purpose of God, there is always the promise of God. That storms cannot hide God's face because he's always with us. That storms cannot change the purpose of God because it is ultimate. And that storms cannot destroy the child of God because God has promised, I've got you. So Paul says, keep courage, for I have faith that it will happen just as he told me. It's his promise to us. Some of you are going through a devastating crisis right now. Your problems are overwhelming. Kind of been beaten back and forth by life. And whether it's that lady that's struggling with the death of her spouse and finding purpose, whether it's the one that's struggling going through a medical procedure, especially like chemo or something like that, and it's ravaging the body, and you're just wondering, will this have purpose? Or it's a parent looking out for his kids and seeing horrible decision after horrible decision and lamenting the fact that they've walked away from him, from God, and from the church, and wondering if they'll ever come back. No matter what the struggle that beats us back and forth, because of Jesus, you may lose the boat. You may lose the cargo, you may lose the tackle on the ship, you might even get wet, but because of Jesus and the forgiveness and the love that he has for you, God says you're going to make it. It's his promise. The reality is that God's got you, guys, as you're going through this life. I don't know what your fear is this morning. I don't know what your struggle is, but God says, I've got you. I've got purpose for you. And I promise that I'm working all things for the good of those who love me. So go with that encouragement today and with this prayer. Let us pray. God, we love you so much. And you know, as we bring you our stuff today, as we bring you our struggles, remind us of this stuff. Remind us that we're never alone, and that should have significance to our lives. It should mean something that you walk by our side. It should mean that we have the strength to deal with life as it comes. It should remind us that you will give us the strength to continue. It should remind us that you are there always loving on us and being with us. Father, as we go through life, let us not lose this idea of purpose either. Remind us that when you're ready, you'll take us home, but in the in-between, you will continue to give us victory one thing after another, so that we can accomplish the purpose that you've given to us. And then lastly, remind us to trust you. That's ultimately, no matter what the storm of life is, the question, will you trust me? Father, today, give us the strength more and more to be able to say yes every single time. And that's our prayer today, and we pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.